Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Brilliance Security Podcast. Hello, my name is Steve Bocut, and I am an editor for Brilliance Security Magazine. Brilliance is an online digital publication dedicated to the security industry. Our mission, and thus our name, is to illuminate the intersection of physical and cybersecurity. We cover both of these security domains by publishing original content about threats, hacks, products, and security strategies. We hope you will enjoy this podcast and visit us at brilliancesecuritymagazine.com. Welcome to the Brilliance Security Magazine podcast, and thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your listening. We have an exciting guest today. Today, our guest is Alex Bovey. Alex is the CEO and co-founder of Conductor One. We're going to be talking about identity security, as I think we'll all learn. Alex has a lot of knowledge in this area, and I'm looking forward to gaining some insights from his perspective. Let me tell you a little bit about Alex. So Alex Bovey, as I stated, is the co-founder and CEO of Conductor One. And prior to this, he was an entrepreneur in residence at Accel. And before that, he was a senior director of product management, zero trust and security at Okta, where he helped transform Okta from an identity company to a security company. With that, welcome, Alex. Thank you for joining me today.
Steve, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. I have to ask you to explain exactly what is an entrepreneur in residence. It's not not a position that I think I'm familiar with.
Yeah, it's not a widely held position probably in Silicon Valley. But for me, and the reason I did that is it was really about being close to Accel, which is a venture firm. They ended up they funded our seed and Series A round, and really just being close to them while I was incubating this idea for Conductor One. I didn't know it was going to be Conductor One at that time, but I knew that I wanted to build a company or around solving the problems around access management and identity governance and helping users get the access they need when they needed it. And eventually that turned into Conductor One, but at the time it was just kind of an internal incubation in-house at Accel. So that's so it's true to name, I guess. I was an entrepreneur in residence at Accel.
In residence. Very cool. I love that. Thank you. All right. Well, let's help our audience get to know you a little more. Tell us a bit about your professional background and how you came to the point where you founded Conductor One.
Yeah, so I've been in technology almost all of my career in some way, shape, or form, mostly on the product side. So I mostly in enterprise SaaS. Started my career at Lookout Mobile Security. I helped build and ship their consumer products to begin with, but then actually pivot to the enterprise and built an enterprise device security product there. While I was at Lookout, recognized that identity was the crux of security in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And so that's actually what led me to go to Okta and to lead the security practice there, the security products practice, if you will. And so spent a good many years at Okta leading the zero trust strategy all up and shipping a lot of products that help secure identities and deliver on some of the security capabilities that most people are very familiar with now at Okta, particularly around authentication. And while I was there, that's really where I recognized, I think, the pain that we came to solve at Conductor One, which is authenticating users is great. Sort of single signing users into different applications is great, but making sure that people have the access they need when they need it, getting visibility across those identities and the levels of access and the resources and permissions that people have and the data they can access. That's a very, very, very hard problem, particularly at scale with larger organizations. Actually, even anyone bigger than 100 employees probably really has a challenge getting their arms around that. And exceptionally so now with the proliferation of cloud applications and infrastructure in the cloud, it's just a very hard problem for companies to tackle. So saw that problem firsthand and sort of my product instincts kicked in and the rest is history, I guess.
Okay, very cool. I appreciate that because just an observation that I would make is if you look at the end of the history of the industry, you can see kind of this pendulum swing when we all recognize that identity management was so crucial and we found great ways to make sure that, you know, it was the right person. But with that came, as you mentioned, all these pain points. Well, now I can't get to the places I need to get. I can't do the things that I need to do. I understand that we need to be secure and we need to protect identity and do authentication and all of those things, but it caused a whole set of other problems that I think maybe we'll talk about some of those as we go forward. But before we kind of dig down into some of those problems and how you feel that you solved them, give us kind of a high level overview or explain Conductor One in a nutshell.
Yeah, so Conductor One is an identity security company. What that means is our goal is to get employees the access they need when they need it and to secure those identities and that access across the customer's entire environment, whether that's a hybrid on-prem environment, cloud environment, infrastructure environment, whatever the case might be. And I know that's a pretty broad-ranging set of capabilities, but we really like to think of our product as really automating all the tedious tasks and workflows that customers are used to sort of doing on their own today through either ticketing processes or spreadsheets or whatever the case might be. And most of that does center around access management and getting employees what they need.
Okay. So I kind of identified the problem that I was aware of. You know, people don't, as we became more secure, people didn't have access to the places they needed to be when they needed that. But are there other key problems that Conductor One aims to solve? And maybe the one that I mentioned is not, you know, the first and foremost. Maybe there are other things. So what are some of those problems that you set out to solve?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of adjacencies. We see it as a identity security is this spectrum of, you know, step one, tie your shoes. You need to be able to get visibility across your entire environment. So if you've got lots of infrastructure in the cloud, it can be hard to manage access to that. It can be hard to understand the identities within your infrastructure environments and what resources and privileges that they have. So there's just a kind of step one, cataloging and understanding the scope of the world. Step two is really that what we think of is that workflow piece. So really the automation of the access management and controls. So self-service enablement, just-in-time provisioning, user access review automation, and kind of automating the life cycle around permissions, identities, and access. And then I think the tail end of that then is the kind of detection and remediation piece from a security standpoint. So being able to detect if an identity might be compromised or if there's a misconfiguration there, helping companies to remediate that. So we really see, you know, eventually us playing in that full spectrum, but we're helping customers with a lot of problems across that spectrum today.
Okay, interesting. All right, so what I thought we would do is I want to kind of go through and ask you about some of the features and functionality of your solution, but I want to put it in context of, you know, why that's even needed. What problem are you solving, and why you feel like that's important? And let's start with this idea of zero trust, and you know, it's kind of a buzzword in the industry. Give us an idea of how Conductor One helps companies enforce zero trust.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been in the security industry long enough to see the hype cycles come and go across a lot of different things. I do wonder right now if maybe zero trust is going to be on its way out because AI is the new hotness. And
True.
We'll see.
Our
we'll
bandwidth
see what happens.
For understanding buzzwords is only is limited, right? So we're going to have to get rid of something.
Exactly. So we'll see at RSA and Black Hat next year if zero trust goes by the wayside a little bit, but. One of the core tenets of zero trust, there's multiple kind of first principles of zero trust. One is that you should strongly authenticate all devices and users. One is that you should encrypt network traffic and secure the traffic end to end. And then the third piece is this concept of least privilege and least privilege enforcement. The idea of least privilege is two things. One is that users should only have the access they need to do their job and for no longer than they need it. And within the context of that, they should have the right amount of privileges as well to do that job. So the idea is if I'm going to go toggle a switch, I don't need the permissions to toggle the switch and open the door and do something else. I just need to toggle the switch permission. So that's kind of least privilege at a high level. How Conductor One helps operationalize that is really the getting the users the access that they need when they need it and for no longer than they need it for, which is a very simple statement. But actually, I think companies really, really, really struggle with it because at the root of it, it's an automation problem, meaning there's a lot of kind of ups and downs of permissions if you need to modulate that on a daily, weekly basis to get users the access that they need. You have people coming into your company, you have people leaving, people change teams, people do, address production outages and issues. And all of those are different situations where you need to escalate or, you know, drive up permissions, grant access, and situations where you need to remove it. And so there's just a lot of clicks and calories that go into that today on the IT and the security teams. And so we automate those processes end to end through lovely user experiences that enable self-service, driving automation around provisioning and deprovisioning workflows, and so forth.
Very cool. All right, good. So let's talk about continuous access governance mechanisms. So what are those and how do they operate?
Yeah, we think about continuous governance as really being about driving the security and governance controls around concepts like UARs, user access reviews, in much more of a real-time fashion. So back to what we were just talking about with least privilege access, the idea is that you should only have that access for as long as you need it right. for. The as long as you need it for actually ends up being really, 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 really hard to drive that outcome. Because there's many reasons why you may not need access anymore. Maybe the issue is resolved in production. Maybe a Jira ticket's closed. Maybe you changed roles. Maybe you changed teams. There's lots of reasons why your need for particular levels of access might change. And so we drive really that continuous access governance piece by being able to automatically remove unused access. So if we see that users haven't logged into particular applications or AWS accounts over some period of time, we'll ask the users if they still need the access and or we'll just automatically remediate that. We can drive user access reviews contextually based on job changes or team changes. And so I think really adding the patterns in that allow customers to move to much more real-time adjudication of access rights actually kind of tightens that least privilege curve to where everything is much more in real time. And that is very different than the way that looks today for most companies. Most companies today, let's just say, operationalize access rights reviews on a quarterly basis or a 6-month basis or a yearly basis. And so the idea that you might have engineers that have extremely sensitive access for 9-12 months, whatever the case might be, you could accidentally have not properly offboarded an employee. And so you've got orphaned accounts with access to sensitive resources, data, infrastructure hanging around for as long as it takes you to get to operationalizing those reviews. And so the idea is move that to as near real time as possible so that you can actually achieve that least privilege goal.
Interesting. Okay, good. All right. So let's talk about identity visibility. So you have a feature of complete identity visibility. How does that work and why is that necessary?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the core components, and I would say almost like first principle design principles of Conductor One, is that to truly secure identity means you have to connect into each of the different applications or resource owners, if you will, to understand what's actually happening in that environment. It's not enough to take a dependency on your IDP and assume that your IDP kind of understands what's happening, because you can have local admins to those accounts. You can have permission and privilege drift downstream, even if you're using something like SCIM to try to move groups and roles across the IDP to the application. So you really have to connect to and understand those applications, that infrastructure directly. And so we've built out an integration layer that allows you to connect to all of your applications and infrastructure, whether that's on-premise infrastructure, you've got an AD environment on-prem, or you've got multiple IDPs in the cloud, or you're using AWS and GCP, and you've got Asana, and you've got, you know, most companies have 100 plus SaaS applications. So it's a hard problem to solve at scale, but I think we've really done a great job on that. We probably have the most native connectors of any sort of modern IGA player out there today. And we connect up to those environments. We ingest and understand all the identities within those environments, including context around sort of the security posture of those identities. And then we also look at the resource and authorization and permission layers in the application. We pull those in as well. And so you can imagine it ends up being a very big data problem. Mm-hmm. Even for a relatively, you know, air quote, small company, like a 500 or 1,000 person company, if you've got 1,000 people in your organization and 100 apps, and maybe 50% of the identities from your users are provisioned into those different accounts, it's like, you know, 50,000, whatever it is, 50,000, 500,000. I can't do the math on the fly, but it's a big number of identities and permissions and roles to kind of understand. But I think there's a lot of value in that for customers, because it's the sheer size of it means it's not a human scale problem. It's very hard for a security or IT team to go anywhere today and really understand across their entire environment, what are all the access rights that Alex Bovey has? What applications does he have access to? What permissions and roles does he have? What customer data can he access? And the idea is that if we can aggregate all that data, which is what we do, we can give that visibility to a customer, and they can use that to drive a lot of workflows and remediation.
Yeah. Okay. And then on top of that, there's this, the way I look at it, is kind of an added layer of complexity, which is, you know, this just-in-time access idea. So let's talk about that a little bit. How do you handle that? How does that work with Conductor One? And what kind of challenges the obvious challenge that comes to my mind is, you know, if it's not just in time, now you're slowing down the organization, right? But if it's, you know, if it's too early, if it's too broad, it's too wide, now you're losing some of the purpose. So how does that work?
Yeah. So there's, on the spectrum of how to grant access, there's sort of birthright. You get the access day one and never changes. You always mm-hmm. have it. Yeah. And then there's, you know, joiner, mover, lever kind of in the middle. The idea of it, that being that I'm on a team or I'm in a role that necessitates some level of access, like role-based access control. Right. And then there's just in time. And I think of that as much more ephemeral justification, short-term justification driven access. Just in time access is really great for very sensitive resources and permissions. So think about your infrastructure in the cloud, think about your production environments, your environments that have very sensitive customer data, where really you don't have a long-lived needed justification for people to have access to those. And the use cases are more, you know, I'm trying to troubleshoot something, or I'm setting something up, or I'm changing a configuration. And really the idea being, you should be temporarily elevating those privileges so that those people can perform those functions, and then immediately removing it and clawing it back once they've actually performed that function or did whatever they did. The challenge being in achieving just in time, or there's another term floating around, temporary elevated privileges, kind of two synonymous terms. The challenge with really achieving that is, it's a back to what I was saying earlier, it's a clicks and calories issue. It's an operational issue. If to get the permissions requires submitting an IT ticket that sits in a queue that has to manually go to people for approval, that right. then has to get manually provisioned, you could be looking at multiple days to adjudicate getting someone access they need. But if you've got a production flare, that's an issue that someone needs to log into infrastructure and address immediately. 2 days is obviously very insufficient from a process standpoint to provide that access. So what it rapidly becomes an automation problem. And the automation problem is, how do you automate as much of that process as possible, pulling humans into the loop only where necessary, to automatically grant access and permissions to users to complete that job or that function. And there's a lot of pieces that that Conductor One solves, not just from an automation perspective, but also even just a policy control standpoint, to say, okay, this user's on this team, they can automatically get that permission. This user's in this role, it's going to require these two approvals from a manager and an IT person on call, whatever the case might be. But it really ends up being automation plus policy to grant the access that you need.
Right. And so I'm kind of assuming here that automated access reviews is going to be a big part of that. So let's talk about that a little bit. So how is automated access review? How does the function within Conductor One? How does it work? Is it like a continuous thing, or is it just periodic? And how does that work?
Yeah, you can kick user access reviews off contextually. So I mentioned earlier, if you know a user changes role or jobs or teams, whatever the case might be, you can run UARs at that point. UARs also, from a compliance standpoint, are usually a mandated tool. So if you have a SOC 2, if you're meeting SOC 2 compliance requirements, SOC 2 Type 2, you generally have to do UARs at least once a year. Usually it's company defined policy how often you do it, but best practices are something like every 3 months. But the idea conceptually behind UARs is that you bring a human into the loop to look at the access rights and permissions that someone has to make the assessment about whether or not those are still appropriate. And the idea is, again, bringing that inspection piece from a human standpoint onto access rights to reduce standing privileges so that you can get to this more or least privilege access and hopefully address inappropriate access or fix non-offboarded user issues or whatever the case might be. So I kind of think of it as the cleanup part, if you will, of least privilege.
Right.
Like ideally what you're doing is just in time, and you're granting it automatically and you're removing it automatically. And you've got your birthright figured out, and you've got your join, remove, reliever workflows figured out, and all that's fully automated. And then if you've got that all nailed, user access reviews are really just kind of like a let's just double check it and clean it up a little bit if we have to. But you know, it can be a painful and arduous process if you don't have a lot of automation there as well.
Okay. All right. So I get it. So your solution, provides the automation. The frequency of when that happens is really driven by compliance issues. But at least you can set it up in the system and it's going to happen automatically, or at least people are going to be prompted automatically at the right time to make sure that you're staying compliant, that kind of thing.
Yeah, compliance or security driven. And I think of the difference as really being, you know, compliance is about the best practices to try to achieve a security outcome, but compliance is not security fundamentally. Right. And so I think UARs are a compliance driven control, but to truly operationalize getting the best security outcome, you have to move those UARs to as near real time as possible and make them context driven, right, and so forth. And so that's really how you take that next step of, you know, we automated it for compliance. Great. We're fixing some of our issues, but can we get really kind of double black diamond in our efficacy of operating, you know, of operationalizing this control and make it as effective as it can be for our organization?
Yeah, perfect. Okay. So Alex, let's zoom out a little bit and take kind of a broad picture view here. So what do you see the future for identity management and access control? How do you see that shaping up?
Yeah, we take a very security-driven viewpoint on the world here. And in particular, we like to think about it in terms of where we fit into the zero trust stack. And so we think about the layers in the zero trust stack as being your access brokers. You can think about these as really the credentialing technologies out there, your cloud IDPs, your on-prem IDPs that authenticate users and federate users into via SSO and applications. There's the network access control part of the stack, which is your modern VPNs. They're typically either point to point, or they have some tunneling technology. There's different technical approaches, but the idea is that they're going to authorize your network traffic and authorize users to access resources. There's your device stack, and that's typically looking at device identity, looking at endpoint security, making sure your devices are protected and they have the appropriate endpoint detection running on them to secure them. And then we think of our place in the stack as that identity security and access governance piece. And that really sits across and integrates with those different players and technologies. with the idea being, though, that it helps achieve that least privilege access goal from a security standpoint. So we're going to help drive detection from a, what applications are you using, help solve the shadow IT problem, from the to the automation of to visibility, to the automation of onboarding, join, remove, reliever workflows, compliance driven security workflows like UARs, just in time access provisioning, all the way through to threat detection around the identities and automated remediation there. And I think there's just a lot of product surface area there, but our goal is to really help secure that modern workforce identity and make sure that people get the access they need when they need it.
Okay. All right, cool. So are there any, concrete plans that you can share with us that for Conductor One? And I know timing isn't everything, and some things you can share and some things you can't, but if there is anything that you see on the horizon for Conductor One that you could share with us, that would be great.
Yeah, totally. Not to give away too much, because we've got some exciting announcements coming out this summer, but I would say one thing that we are, very keenly aware of is that a lot of different, because we sit across the entire organization, we have to automate a lot of workflows. And there's a lot of different personas that use our product, from IT to security engineering to developers. And so we're really looking at how to create the best experience for all those different folks in the organization. So, but I don't want to steal our marketing team.
Well, we'll stay tuned. We'll see what announcements come up. Maybe we'll
that
have
sounds
you
good.
Back. Maybe we'll yeah, have yeah. you back another time and talk about those when you can talk about them. All right. So this has been fun. I really appreciate your time. I do want to end. We always end with the same kind of an open-ended question. The essence of this question is, what should I have asked that I failed to ask? But the question is there anything else that you believe our audience needs to know, either about identity management, identity security, or Conductor One?
Yeah, I would say it's two of our principles as a company and a product that I think are maybe not necessarily unique to Conductor One, but something we're very passionate about. And I love to talk about this passion. One is that we're customer obsessed. I think as a technology company, and particularly when you're touching workflows and you're touching end user experience, like, you really have to be obsessed with making an awesome experience for users. And obviously there's a journey there, and we're always getting better and so forth. But that's something that's really important to us. So we really do partner with our customers and really focus on how do we make them as successful as possible, and really listen to them constantly. The other piece, and this is one that I'm really proud of, because I think it there's legacy solutions out there kind of in our space that I think have been adopted historically, but there's a lot of like battle scars around like failed projects and so forth. And I think that all has to do with time to value. And so that's just something that we believe so firmly in and have really focused on the product side, is making it dead simple to get up and running with our solution, to use our product, to integrate it into the different environments and in a way that just works and just gets running for a customer and shows them value quickly. And we really just think that that's absolutely essential, because if at the end of the day, you're telling an automation, a security story, it's like, if it takes more time to set up than the value that they get out of it, obviously it's like, it's not a very
exactly.
good trick.
So, yeah.
so we believe in that. And we just think that that's going to create ultimately, really, really happy customers that really love our product and love what we're doing. And we're just really excited to innovate in the space around those dimensions.
Very cool. Thank you so much. Well, we are out of time, but thank you, Alex. I really appreciate it. This has been fun. I appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Steve. Appreciate it.
You bet. And a big thanks to our listeners for being with us. And please remember to like and subscribe if you find this podcast interesting. And join us next time for another episode of the Brilliance Security Magazine podcast.